Hey folks, this is Ted Kansi coming at you with another episode of On Agency. How are you? You are listening to Echo Belly. Good springtime music, good British pop music. I like this stuff personally. I think it's an amazing sound. And I found them, of course, at Reckless Records. Actually, I found them in an issue of Ray Gun magazine, if I'm really honest. And it was, Ray Gun was a David Carson production from the AIGA. And he was, they interviewed Morrissey from the Smiths. And Morrissey said that Echo Belly was one of his favorite bands, which I thought was really weird. So I never heard of them. So I went out and I found their music and I ended up liking it. And then he also said there was another band he liked called Gallon, it was Gallon Drunk. And I bought one of their albums too. And it was freaking crazy, man. I bought that from, I think it was Tower Records back in the day. I used to buy all this stuff when music was changing again. A lot of music wasn't even being featured on MTV. MTV was, you know, becoming a product of, who knows. They were losing their focus on new music. They're just playing what was popular stateside. They weren't really going out of their way to find, you know, the eccentric stuff. So Ray Gun magazine was a design magazine that was exploring art and culture from a very unique design perspective. And every once in a while you'd find some really good articles in there. Sadly, the magazine's no more, but I'm just remembering how good that was. So I bring up Echo Belly because their new sound is very universal, very atmospheric, and kind of sets the tone for the 37 Secrets about Prosperity. I'm going to go ahead and read from this book again because we've got some really good insight here about how to make yourself prosperous. And I've got a website here that talks about addictions and talks about depression and how you can overcome that with your subconscious mind. So let's just dive right in. And we've got, I'm just going to go ahead and just pick something. You know, I've actually put bookmarks all over this book, and I dog-eared it, and I have underlines all over, so it's some cool stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and just read from my favorite sections. Apparently, I read this one before. This is chapter 13. Yeah, page 23. And it says, once you discover your assignment, prosperity will discover you. And it says, once you begin doing the work that you are truly meant to do, the universe will reward you with good. This is the way universal laws work, with no exception. When you do your assignment, you attack it with passion, zeal, and dedication. And because you come with that mindset, you perform at an extraordinary level, attracting extraordinary results. Okay. And it ends like this. All people are subconsciously searching for the big thing, a cause, a movement, or vision that is greater than they are. When you are on assignment, people will sense this power and want to be part of it. You attract powerful people who share their prosperity with you. So, get a vision, get a goal, get a dream that is bigger than you are, and try to create something big. Let me see if I did that in my time, in my short time here with you. Since I've been on this earth, I have founded movements that were in fact bigger than I was. I'll give you one example. It was when I went to Soho, New York in the 80s, I came back with a vision that was so big. I wanted to create a Soho-style art gallery in Ann Arbor, and I had no idea how I was going to do it. I had no funding. I had no like-minded people to conspire with. And I came across some people who wanted to start a little jewelry store in the mall with knickknacks, and that was kind of the genesis for the art co-op that we created. Now, what's funny about it? I'm laughing because if we had done that, it might have been all right. Who knows? Who knows that would have went to? We could have went to doing art shows and, you know, on a street possibly. But the way it ended up working out was I was dedicated to white walls, track lighting, and having openings where people could come in and meet each other. So we started doing these gigantic art parties, and that was really where the start of it was for us. And we became an art gallery, right? The right people did show up. We had investors that wanted to put money into this thing. I don't know who put the track lighting in, but they made this little miniature Soho style gallery with art, with paintings of all things. And that's how I got involved with painting. I got involved doing these gigantic canvases after I've seen the big canvases for the Guggenheim Summer Collection. I saw the Picassos from 1933, 37. I was really impressed with that really poppy style. And it took over to the New York, like the pop art movement with the Warhol stuff and Lichtenstein and so on. Hugely influenced by that. And I came back and I built this huge thing with some other great people. And I'm still friends with some of those people to this day. So, point is, you get yourself a vision that's so huge and so big and so monstrous that you want to hold on to it. And this can actually carry you and make something happen. Other people will discover that zeal, that real good energetic push to make something great and something big happen, and they'll want to be part of it. So that is it. The other thing too is that now that I'm remembering the story, there was a time when we had some people show up that wanted to kind of derail us from the actual vision that we created. And it took us off track a bit. So we had to kind of prune our vision, kind of like a bonsai tree. A bonsai tree, you can't have any kind of poisonous leaves inside this, the growth and the success of the tree. You have to kind of prune it and trim it. So keep in mind that you'll be doing that too with your vision, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is. So those are some things that you want to keep in mind. Big stuff, man. Really, really big. I like that because it gets you thinking about what you want to, what you should be looking for. Your subconscious, it talks about right here. All people are subconsciously searching for the big thing and a cause, a movement, or a vision that is greater than they are. Yeah, that's true. So when your vision is big and it's huge, people will sense this power and want to be part of it. You attract powerful people who share their prosperity with you. That's good. Hold on to that. It's got to be something very unique. All right. And number 12. I don't know this one. I didn't bookmark this next one. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Number 12. Prosperity is manifested from the ethers around you. The universe has provided for all your needs. Prosperity is in the ethers all around you. Like a soldier waiting for orders, prosperity stands on guard, waiting to be called forth. The mediums that man uses to manifest prosperity from the ethers onto the physical plane are ideas. So guard your ideas and work with those. I bookmarked two of these. See, I haven't done this in a while. I haven't looked at this book in a while. But I've read a lot of stuff from Joseph Murphy. I read about four of his books. And I just threw myself into it. And if you don't know who Joseph Murphy was, he was a newspaper writer back in the 1920s, I think it was. He's from Ireland, and he would always talk about the subconscious mind. He might have had a radio show, possibly. I'm not sure, but I know he was a newspaper columnist. And based on the people that he's met and his live events, he helped people with subconscious mind programming to get incredible, miraculous results around the world. And I was lucky enough to find his books and be introduced to him. And it turns out he's written more than four books, actually. If you go on Amazon, that's just part of the story, because if you start digging into higher consciousness type bookstores, you'll see that he's written some other titles too on some third-party press houses. And I was surprised and relieved that he wrote so much. So you'll have to do some digging, but you'll find some really cool things. Anyway, let me go to the section where I bookmarked it. Chapter 14 says, when you have a powerful vision, the universe will bend to your will. I do believe I did. I might have covered this for you yesterday. Let me see. Yeah, I do believe I did. And we talked, and just let me just recap then. When you have a compelling dream and a strong belief in that dream, you attract partners, manifest resources, impact markets, and create an entire roller coaster of reactions to your vision. The universe will bend to your will. This is really cool stuff, actually. So you can really attract prosperity to you. Just as you can manifest a parking space, an elevator coming, or a hotel room available. Yeah, and we did cover this yesterday. So this is really cool. This is a really cool book to pick up. It's a fast read. The chap, they call them chapters, but they're basically one-page descriptions of the concepts, and you can really kind of get to what they're saying immediately. Let's look at this one. I have not read this one. I didn't bookmark it, so I don't know how good this is, but we'll see if we can get through it. Chapter 32. Prosperity conscious people are contrarians. Unfortunately, most of the masses are sick, broke, and unhappy. They're echoing out most of their lives in quiet desperation. They drudge through each day, doing what they're told. Sounds like my corporate job. And they have been told what to think for so long that they no longer know how to think. If you want to succeed, you need to be a contrarian. But to do this, you must be capable of critical thought, which is something that the herd cannot yet do. The reason most people are living these desperate lives is that they are incapable of discernment. The reason Bill Gates is a billionaire is that he can discern things that others can't. Question what you read and hear. Analyze why the herd thinks the way it does, and you need to think differently. Okay. I'm okay with this, except I'm not a big Bill Gates fan, so, but I do understand. You need to think differently. You need to think for yourself, really, is really what you need to do. Be independent as much as possible. And when it comes to dealing with the herd and telling you what to think, you need to think about where you're at with stuff. I just got to say this because I joined a business group a while ago, and it came with a rule book of things I couldn't say, basically, things I couldn't do. The level of communication from one business group to another was very much limited. I found the whole experience to be very counterproductive for me. And also, I didn't need to be eyeballed and formed into a certain mindset. Let me tell you something about the big things I didn't like about the group. And I'm not going to mention the name because Lord knows I have enough enemies out there. I don't need any new ones for superficial reasons. But the real reason I didn't like the group was we had these ideas that you had to go out and these groups and drink and bars and you know, and there's nothing wrong with it if you're into that sort of thing, but it gave off a really false perception of the self. It was in a very prominent area where money was pretty affluent, but it brought the worst characteristics out in people, and they projected themselves falsely as being something that they weren't, as far as in the means of money and riches and affluence. And the problem with that is a lot of these guys had jobs, right? Which happens. They weren't all true entrepreneurs. So taking advice from somebody who's being told what to do all the time, you know, and taking not just advice, but critical advice. Critical advice on finances, critical advice on family, critical advice on relationships and who I should be dating and that sort of stuff. Just really intrusive, critical, hypercritical, I'm sorry, not just critical, hypercritical advice from these types of people really rubbed me the wrong way. And it was not conducive to business. And also, I didn't see any fruit from that as truth, as growth. So, unless, and I'm going to say this really, really politely, you really need to think for yourself. And when you go in with herd-type thinking, that is a dangerous red flag for you, because so much of going with a group is so harmful for you in the long run. It really is. You sacrifice a lot of your own personal beliefs just to kind of fit in with a group of people who are technically, essentially very insincere. So I have to look at that stuff very critically. As they are hypercritical to me, I have to be critical and look back and say, is this for me or not? I like to be independent and a free-thinking person. I don't like to just go with a group, go with the flow, so I can fit in with a bunch of insincere people who could care less about me in the long run. If you want more examples of that, I'm sure I'll touch upon it upon time, but corporate America has that sort of mentality too, and I'm not really into all of that. So, let's look another one. Oh, this, and they were just talking about this. In a very nice way, I was talking about it, but trying not to talk about it. Chapter 35. Gossiping about others creates a negative prosperity debt. I hate gossip. Gossip sucks. Yeah, I tell you. Because it does nothing good comes out of it. And if I can make money out of it by slandering other people, I mean, and people do, right? There's some slanderous stuff on me on the web that MLive, actually, in Michigan, a news company, decided to just take me on and rip me apart just because I was out helping people. But that's another story. But I didn't respond to it. I didn't respond to it in kind. So now there's no recourse. I know how this universal law thing works, and I'm very cautious with myself. But listen to this. Gossiping about others creates a negative prosperity debt. And this is an offshoot of the vacuum of the law of prosperity. When you gossip about others, you are a voyeur to their discomfort, and you incur a karma debt for this. This also holds true when you watch reality television shows and exploit other people's ignorance for the entertainment of the public. Wow. I don't watch Cops anymore. You know, it was so funny. When I went through my negative, like, tailspin, I used to watch Cops, and I would think to myself, wow, that person's really screwed up. I'm not as screwed up as that guy. At least I'm not as screwed up as this person. That's the same thing as gossiping, though. As I've gone through the spiritual evolution process, I've lost interest in watching reality television. I also took personal inventory on what I do and what I think about, and so I'm not actually partaking in negative vibes on that sort of thing. I want to be cautious about that, because I do believe it's going to stop my spiritual growth. And I don't even watch TV that much anymore, really. And we pay this huge cable bill, but a lot of it is just what he describes. It's a form of gossip. It's a form of voyeurism. It's a part of taking entertainment in other people's misery. Didn't the Sex Pistols say that? For Holidays in the Sun, like their first single, it was, cheap holiday in other people's misery. They're talking about having a vacation in Belsen, Germany, of all places. But, and I guess that was a thing for a while. People would actually go to the beaches over there, and they were rebelling about that sort of thing. Be really careful with gossip. Gossip's a terrible thing. I don't enjoy it. I don't have it in my companies. I don't have it in any of my companies, actually. I put my foot down on it because I just don't agree with it. I don't think it belongs there. And I don't think it needs to be there. In fact, I even stopped hanging out with people who actually gossip, because I just find them Now, I wouldn't say, well, they are unprosperous, actually, but I find them to be very uninspiring and damaging. Very damaging just to know them, just to be around it, and it's something I don't enjoy doing or being around. So I cut a lot of this stuff out just because I'm working for myself, I'm working by myself, and that's the way I like it. And with that comes a code of conduct. A lot of people in business don't really believe that, per se. And I'm not trying to say I'm a saint at all, because I'm not. But I will say that I'm very conscious about what I do and how I think. And I try to guard that. Again, if there's a book out there that has all the spiritual laws in it, I have yet to find it in one central source. Because every time I go out and I see different books by, like, who is it? What's her last name? Hicks. The laws of the law of attraction. Joe Vitale. All this stuff is great. And I've also read a lot of Vedic laws from East India, and in East Indian thought and meditation. And they got spiritual laws too. And also the laws of higher consciousness from the I Am movement, the I Am group, out in, I believe it was Washington State. They have their own laws of prosperity too. So it's very confusing to see, where did you guys get this stuff from? Are these laws that you've created yourself? Are these laws that, you know, they come from a central source? Or does it come from like folklore? Is it like this world knowledge thing that, whatever it is, I'd like to find a central source for it, because I hear a lot of people say, this is a spiritual law, and haven't you ever heard of this one? The truth is, I've heard of the concept, but I would like to see where did the rules come from. Some New Age books out there that have spiritual laws in them are so outlandish and so far-fetched, it's really hard for me to really identify with them. There was one that talked about Walt Disney being an ascended master. All right. Well, if you want to get really technical with me about it, we can, but let me tell you what I know. It'd be hard for him to do that because he died of cancer in his 60s. This is true. And he was also a smoker, which meant that he cut off his Vishuddhi, his chakra, to reach higher consciousness. That was scientifically impossible. If you want to get really technical, we can. And I doubt wholeheartedly and sincerely that he was an ascended master. Plus, I heard some other stuff too that's coming out now about him. So, but the author put him in this book that said that he was an ascended master, and I was like, "Wow, you're lost and you're wrong." And the book came from a third-party press source. You know what? I have it around here somewhere. A friend gave it to me, and I ended up losing it. Maybe the universe decided I didn't need to see it. And it just disappeared. I never did find it again. But I found some really just... And that was just one example. There were some other examples in there too that just didn't make any sense to me. So you got to be careful with this stuff, because you got to discern what is truth to you, what does truth mean to you, and you take all these great resources and you got to put them together and you got to come up with your own truth. But the thing is, you got to make sure that you don't step on other people's truth, because there's cause and effect. You want to be the cause in your direction. You don't want to live in a state of effect where things are happening to you constantly. Things are happening to only you. Bad things are happening to you on a consistent basis. So just keep those thoughts in mind. This website right here comes from operationmeditation.com. How to use your subconscious mind to achieve success in 3 powerful, easy steps. All right. So the subconscious mind, how does it work? What is it? It's a very powerful animal. But without control, much of its power can be wasted. And worse, much of its power can even damage you. A common example of this is when you're overly anxious about something going wrong. Maybe you're performing on stage tonight and you're worrying about you might botch up the performance. But essentially, you know, your subconscious mind can get things wrong. By focusing on a bad outcome you're almost always afraid of, you will actually and unwittingly sabotage yourself and your own abilities, and you will actually are commanding your subconscious to self-destruct. Now, here's an easy way to turn the tables on it. You can actually program your subconscious to make its own, to make it turn for the to the worse. But you can also follow these three steps on how to use your subconscious mind to let you achieve anything you want in life, be it success, more confidence, or charm, right? So here's three things. I'm just going to give them to you really quick, and I got to skedaddle. I'm going to cue up the music. Boom, here it is. Here it is. First, get some coffee. That's my rule. So I can talk, and I can bang these statements out. It says, first, of course, find a quiet, safe, and comfortable spot. Most people would like to sit in the bedroom or sit on a meditation mat or on the corner of their bed. It doesn't matter as long as you're comfortable and that you're not disturbed. Turn off the lights. Close your eyes for a minute, mentally making a request from your subconscious. And by request, we mean say in your head what you really want to say in a declarative sense. For example, I am completing this project efficiently and quickly. Don't say anything complicated. Just let the request become simple. And the request must be directed related to something realistic. Telling yourself that you want to learn how to fly would get you nowhere. But make the request as if you would say it so to another person. But do so with the utmost conviction. And that feeling, with a feeling that it's already been done. That's really, really cool. It's oversimplified, but I like it. Let's move on to number two. Two is the visualization. This is where you imagine where the request really happens. So if you want to complete an important work-related project, visualize yourself doing the project with ease, efficiency, and supreme confidence. Imagine it as vividly and detailed as your mental pictures. Maybe you can imagine performing your job in a flourish with a smile on your face and eagerness in your heart. Visualize how awesomely you interact with your colleagues and how much they love you and how glad they are to work with you. Visualization should take about 2 minutes. Here's the third one. This is great. You want to write this stuff down. Number three, it says, finally, spend the last 2 minutes imagining the strong, positive feelings that you will have upon completing your project or achieving your desire. How do you feel when you not only complete that project, but also complete it ahead of the deadline, to the great critical acclaim of your bosses? Imagine the sheer happiness and powerful sense of achievement and pride. Imagine the admiration of everyone around you. Then own these feelings as if these feelings have already happened. Swim around in these positive feelings for 2 minutes. Revel in them. Feel them in every fiber of your being, and then stop. Go to sleep and let it go. You have been programmed with your desires and your subconscious, and it can only work as you sleep. That's true. Does it work when you sleep? Yes. Does it work when you're conscious? I do believe it does, as long as you're in a meditative state and you're in a quiet state where you don't let the things that you see, which is your conscious mind, get in the way. Your conscious mind is like all the stuff that you see around you. So don't believe what you see. Don't believe what that's what's around you. The negative stuff that's around you. You should not be in agreement with it. You know, I got to tell you something. When I was in Soho and I had this idea to start this art gallery, I had this buzz around my body for like about 2 years. I came back home to Michigan. I try to explain this to people, but they don't get it. And it was the weirdest energy I've ever felt in my life. I felt like my body had like a little hum to it. I was so in love with this vision of starting an art gallery that I had a vision. I had a powerful buzz around me that nobody could understand. It alienated some people in my life that didn't share the vision, that didn't like it. I had a girlfriend at the time who completely hated the vision. We did nothing but fight constantly. She finally had to go. I had to get rid of her. She had to just get out. And I had to keep my vision pure and on focus. I got in fights with my parents over it. I got in fights with some teachers over it. I went out and just did my own thing. And it was successful. We had the gallery for 5 years. Plus, there was offshoots of that, too. Because all the connections I made, I was still able to get my art out in front of a lot of people. So it was cool. It was a cool time in my life. I really enjoyed it. Now, that buzz comes from certain places, comes from certain cities, comes from the ocean, too, actually. I feel like a hum whenever I go to it, and it'll stay with me for a couple days. That's a real feeling. That's a natural high. Some people get that feeling from jumping out of airplanes, climbing mountains, running long marathons. They feel an unearthly buzz around their bodies. And it's a really, really cool thing. This whole thing about the subconscious mind is cool too, because it's built on emotion. It's built on prosperity. When you're charged up with energy, when you're charged up with a positive vibration, things will come to you a lot quicker and a lot easier because you can feel it. And you're in that zone. They call it being in the zone. That is really what it's all about. And you want to stay there, because that is where all the magic starts to happen. I'm Ted Cantu. I'm out of time for today. This has been a really great, insightful podcast. I hope you take the information from here and do great things with yourself today. And if there's any negative people in the way who want to hold up road signs, you know what to do. You need to make a discernment, an idea that you're going to make today a commitment to move forward and to build yourself up. If you have any questions, you can give me a shout, 248-277-6141. And always look us up at techcantu.com. We got some new things coming your way too, called The Grid. We want you to be connected on a local level to other local businesses. This is not a business breakfast workshop club type thing. This is real, okay? Just so you know. And a little background, I'm an ex-art director from Chicago and New York City. I am going back to New York this summer. And if you're in the Michigan-Detroit area, catch me while you can, because I will be gone. But I won't be gone tomorrow from you guys, all your listeners out there. And we have another podcast coming your way. So until then, I will see you online. And you can always email me too at tedcantu@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.